All right, so today we are in the study, Romans chapter 3, our sequential verse-by-verse study of the book of Romans. We left off last week in 3:8, but before we start reading in verse 9, let's just go back, catch the subject of the book of Romans, like we did in most of our studies getting there. So first of all, Romans chapter 1, verse 11. Paul says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established." So it's all about establishing the body of Christ. Verses 15 and 16 of chapter 1, Paul says, "So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you there at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Okay? We then went on to study chapter 1. It only took us, 10 weeks to study chapter 1? But chapter 1, what we saw, is all about the wrath of God with the evil of the world. Then we got into Romans chapter 2, and it's all about the wrath of God coming upon, I'm going to say, the good of the world, the people that, from a religious standpoint, and of course primarily Jews we're talking about back here, thought they could be good enough and thought that they weren't as bad as those other sinners out there. And so Romans chapter 2 talked about that. Then Romans chapter 3 was all about the wrath of God coming upon the Jews also. Okay, so now we're starting the major transition that we talked about in the first hour. So picking it up in verse 9, and we're going to read right through verse 22. So 3:9. "What then? Are we better than they?" And just for context, we would be the Jews and the Jewish proselytes, those Gentiles that would have been there at the synagogue when Paul first went there. Actually, let's take a quick second. Coming back to our timeline, I put the book of Acts here. Dispensation of the grace of God. Now, Paul wrote 13 books. Between Acts 16 and Acts 20 would be his Acts epistles. There's six of them, and that would be Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. And I'm missing one.
Galatians,
thank you. I should do it in the order he wrote them. That would help me. So he wrote Galatians first in Acts 16. Then he wrote 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Then he wrote 1 Corinthians in 19. Then he wrote Romans, and then 2 Corinthians. And those two were the last two, about 3 months apart in Acts 20. So those are the six Acts epistles. Then out here we have what are known as the prison epistles. And he wrote 7 prison epistles: Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. The reason we're doing that is because Romans, being written during this time period, and what we just read there in Romans 1:17, "The power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." In these six books, he's still going to the Jew first. He's still bound by the promise made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. "I'll bless them that bless thee, I'll curse them that curse thee."
One thing, just to interject real quick, is the importance of, in a timeline study, to understand that the order in which the books were written is not necessarily the order in which they're put into your Bible.
Excellent point.
And that, if it's
point being that the order that they were written is not the order they were put in your Bible.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But the importance also is to know what was going on at the times of when
yes.
the book was written, and where it is on the timeline from the crucifixion moving forward.
Absolutely.
And you know, denominations don't ever focus in
yep.
on that, and there's a lot of confusion that comes from not
yes.
being focused on that.
And a good example of that, I'm getting an opportunity in a rather large Baptist church in town, Anderson Mill Baptist Church, and okay, that's on film. But they're allowing me to teach the dispensation, and And they're just grasping it, and they're seeing it and going, you know, wow. And the one guy says, I've read the Bible 50 times in the last 6 years. He said, I've never seen, you know, in just one class like that. He goes, I've never seen this like that.
You're hearing it, and you have to read it and see it.
Yeah. And they're, you know, and he's like, praise the Lord, man. The Bible's making so much more sense now. The things that seemed like contradictions are explained by dispensational teaching. 2 Timothy 2:15, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, now, while we're on that, one other thing I want to say. This is to the Jew first, when Paul wrote these six books, to show you how Acts 28, when they become the Jews become Lo-Ammi, not my people. In these seven books, Paul uses the word Jew or Jews a grand total of one time. Keep your hand in Romans. Just come over to Colossians chapter 1, or Philippians chapter 1. Yeah, Colossians chapter 1. Okay, Colossians chapter 3.
That's what you meant.
That's what I meant. I'm just making sure y'all are paying attention. Colossians chapter 3. This is the only time that Paul uses the word Jew or Jews in his prison epistles. Verse 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Okay? There is no difference. It's the only time he uses the word Jew or Jews in these seven books, and that's to say that there is no difference between Jew and Greek today. We're all saved the same way. Anybody can hear the gospel of Christ preached anywhere in the world. We do not, up until Acts 28, you had to go to a synagogue to hear the gospel preached. That's where Paul would have been. Back here it was Jew first. Acts chapter 17, remember Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, them being those in the synagogue. Okay? Then the Jews would blaspheme, then he could take the Gentiles next door. Open up shop there, but he always had to go to the Jew first. Okay? Ever since about AD 68, anybody, Muslim, Catholic, Baptist, you know, Greek, you name it, anybody, anywhere, could preach the gospel, anybody anywhere could hear the gospel, anybody anywhere could believe the gospel, how the Christ died for our sins according to scriptures, was buried, raised again for our justification, believe it and then trust in it, and they're saved and sealed into the day of redemption. Okay? And that will be true until that event happens, and then it's too late. Dispensation changes, it goes right back to the gospel of the kingdom. He that shall endure to the end shall be saved. It is works-based there. You can lose your salvation in that time period. We won't be there. Okay? Okay, so let's get our study. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Okay, Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, and their tongues they have used deceit. And with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And amen to that whole passage. All right. So, if we look at that passage, which would be our study for today. All right, first, so going back, verse 10, as it is written. So he gives a number of things in the next several verse that says, basically, none of us can be good enough. They've been trying. That was the program for thousands of years. Nobody. By the way, did you ever notice even Abraham and Aaron did not get to go into the promised land? They weren't good enough. Excuse me, not Abraham and Aaron, Moses and Aaron. They weren't good enough. They didn't get to go into the promised land. Why did they have to wander for 40 years? You know, the others, the children of Israel, you know, they weren't good enough. They wouldn't believe strong enough. Moses and Aaron, one all shucks, wiped out all those attaboys that they had, and they didn't get to go in. When the Lord said to Moses, speak unto the rock and it'll give water. And instead he hit it with his rod like he'd been doing all the times. And because of that, Moses doesn't get to go into the promised land. Aaron actually gets struck dead because he stood there. He listened to the conversation, right? He's Moses' right-hand man. And because he let Moses hit the rock instead of speaking unto it, he's almost an innocent bystander. Take him up on the top of the mountain in front of all the children of Israel, strip his garments, give it to his son Eleazar, and then boom, he's struck dead. In front of all the children of Israel. Whoa. Whoa. There is none good. No, not one. All right? Even people like Moses, Aaron, you know, chief of the priests back there. All right? So that's what all these passages are. I'm kind of going a little bit quicker here. If you want to write some passages down, Isaiah, you know, it says, as it is written, verse 10 there. Isaiah and Proverbs. Wow. The days are long, but the years are short. Yes, and you even are laughing with me. All right. That, how cute of a smile. Mama, you done good. Papa, where'd he go? You done good. Wow. Man. The days are long, but you can bring tears in my eyes. This is unreal. Okay. But as it is written, so that verse 10, that's Psalm 14, 1 through 1 and 2, and we're not going to go, we would if we were really doing a real detailed study. The next one would be Psalm 39, Psalm 39, 5 would be verse, the part there, there's none that understandeth, none that seeketh after God. But don't miss the parts here. Verse 10, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, none that seeketh after God. The end of verse 12, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. How many good people have there ever been on this earth? No, not one. That's why he had to come and die for us, because verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All right? And all means all. It always has and it always will. That's why he had to come. Verse 18, I think, is a great verse, too, we could spend a lot of time on. But there is no fear of God before their eyes. For all of us, I'm going to say 50 and overs. Do we see that happening as far as there's no fear of God out there anymore? I'm sure that the generations before us probably said the same thing about us when we were in our teens and young 20s, and, you know, there's no fear of God in their eyes. But boy, oh boy, there's just no fear of God out there today. It is unbelievable. You know, I listen, you know, we have, for the guests here, we have three daughters aged, 22 in 2 weeks, 22, 25, 27, and there's just no fear of God out there. You know, when you listen to them, you know, Mom, the only time
there's
I hear the Lord's name is in vain.
There's no reverence for God.
And certainly no reverence either. And there's no, very little reverence for this book, the Word of God. The ultimate history book, as we talked about in the first hour, this King James Bible, the Word of God. Verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith. What does the law say, by the way? What the law says is guilty, 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 guilty. Every one of us, guilty, right? If we were to turn to Galatians, bless you, when we did our study there, the law is our schoolmaster to show us that we're guilty before the Lord. Every one of us is guilty of hell, guilty and worthy of hellfire and damnation. Okay, verse 3:23, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is
death.
But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, never forget those. The book of Romans is just great. I mean, it's like everything you need right here in the book of Romans. And it just happens to be the first book written by Paul that shows up in your Bible, and it's right after this transitional book of Acts. Remember Romans, the Philemon, the 13 books written by Paul. And that's why when we get, I'm jumping ahead. We'll get there in a second. So whatsoever things the law saith, it says you're guilty, it saith to them who are under the law. Now, who was under the law? Israel, right? Israel. Starting back there with Moses when he came down with them the first time, they're under the law. And Christ says, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, right? Peter, they're still following the law. Why are they all there in Jerusalem? They were there for the day of Pentecost, right? They're following the law at that time. That continued until Acts chapter 9, when Paul gets saved by the gospel of Christ, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth a pattern to them which should hereafter believe. Okay, Acts 13, the first time he preaches the gospel of Christ. Saith to them, so verse 19 again. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Okay, the whole world's guilty. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall how much flesh be justified in his sight? No flesh. There shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Okay? That's how we know we've sinned, because of the law. Now, justified, I keep the definition here in the margin. I want to read it here for this study, because justification is what it's all about. Justified, to pardon and clear from guilt, to absolve or acquit from guilt and merited punishment, and to accept as righteous on account of the merits of the Savior or by the application of Christ's atonement to the offender. That's justification. And that's what we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. But now, okay, that's what we, matter of fact, our website, some of you on the camera may know, that's how you're here, butnow.info. Okay, that's why we call, use that for our ministry, you know, butnow.info, www.butnow.info. And that's where, like, these videos will be going. We got to get the four videos together, step 1, 2, 3, or rightly dividing 1, 2, 3, and 4, and get them up there. But right now, if somebody were to go there today, you've got about 20 years of Brother E.C. Moore, who I consider one of my mentors, who Brother Jerry Lockhart considers his mentor, that are up there, like 20 years of audio recordings at butnow.info. But Paul says here, but now. That's the first time of seven times that he's going to use that phrase, but now, in his writings. So coming back to our timeline, okay, the Old Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then the book of Acts picks up. Okay, Acts 16 to 20 is where Paul writes. Galatians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians, Romans, 2 Corinthians. Romans is the first one that shows up after the book of Acts. And right here in Acts chapter, in Romans chapter 3, but now the righteousness of God, verse 21, without the law. The righteousness of God without the law. But now it's manifested. It has not yet been manifested. It's the first time it shows up in reading the Bible through Genesis to Revelation, if you were to read it that way. This is the first time righteousness, but now, verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. First time. Up until then, to try to obtain righteousness, it included enduring to the end. It included works. Works are absolutely part of salvation in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Great passage, Matthew chapter 19, and we're not turning there. But that rich young ruler comes to the Lord Jesus Christ himself and says, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Great question to ask, shouldn't we all ask it? Lord Jesus Christ, don't miss his answer back to him. Keep the commandments. That's what the first thing Christ told him to do. Keep the commandments. It's works. So I always wonder how people can say, this is salvation by faith without works. You can't find that anywhere in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you can absolutely find works in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, so right here, but now, at Romans chapter 3, verse 21, but now, first time of seven times, Paul uses that phrase. So I use the example with Pat earlier in the first hour in case you didn't see it on the tape. Pat is a guest here from Nashville. Last week she was in Nashville, but now she's here in Georgetown, Texas. And things to come. Are you the one at 4:30 has a flight today?
Well, yeah.
4:30 today has a flight to go back to Nashville. She was in Nashville, thing times past, but now she's here in Georgetown with us, and we're having a great time and studying together, and soon to have a meal together, if this guy will finish. And things to come fly back. Okay. So same thing here. Paul says, but now, verse 21, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Remember how we started this. There's none righteous, no, not one. None that doeth good, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, no, not one. Verse 23, it ends with, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. One other thing I want to grab, verse 22 there. If you're reading a King James Bible, it says, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ. If you have any other version in your hand, it would say, even the righteousness of God which is by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, there's just two-letter words, in, of. Does it make a difference? Mm-hmm. Well, if it's faith in Jesus Christ, whose faith are we talking about?
Ours.
Our faith. Your faith. My faith. If it's the faith of Jesus Christ, whose faith is that?
His
faith. The faith of Christ. He had enough faith to allow himself to hang on that cross, to die for our sins, according to the scriptures, be buried. But the faith of Christ, he had faith in God the Father that he would raise him from the dead. As Peter says in Acts chapter 2, the faith of Christ, that thou shalt not leave my soul in hell. He had faith to know that God the Father would not leave his soul in hell, but would raise him from the dead. We now know, as Jerry had us read in the first hour, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, we now know that it's because he was dying for our sins. But they didn't know that back there. And as verse 8 said, for had they known it, they, the princes of this world, the principalities of this world, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Therefore, we'd still be in our sins. Wow. Did the whole thing come together or what? See, it's a master game plan in here. And because we can read see the whole game film, it's kind of like watching a football game and you already know the score and you're kind of not quite as exciting, right? And you know the final outcome. But when you're watching it live, you don't know how it's going to end. Oh, wow. Why did that happen? Why did they do that? Okay. So we didn't know. They didn't know. As things happened at time, during that crucifixion, the 12 were jumping up and down for joy. Praise the Lord, they're crucifying him because he's dying for our sins, right? No. They wept. They went into hiding. They feared for their own lives. They didn't know that he was dying for our sins. He even told them 3 or 4 times before he went there he was going to die, be buried, raised again, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be. They didn't get it. They didn't understand it. Okay? So, the faith of Jesus Christ, that's the one that settled it for me. And this whole issue is the King James Version, the Word of God. What about the others? Come on. And I used to carry some of the others. That right there, because that's consistent throughout Paul's writings. Faith of Jesus Christ, where all the others change it, the faith in Jesus Christ. And that's a huge difference. I'd much rather rely on the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ than rely on my own faith, because I get weak from time to time. I don't know about you, but I know my faith wavers. Okay? And really, for Romans chapter 3, this context right here starts with, there's none good, no, not one. We all understand that we're all sinners. He came because he had faith in God the Father, allowed himself to die because of all that. Now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. And that's what the rest of the book of Romans is going to still help us with, this transition from the kingdom church that the 12 started to the church, which is the body of Christ that we are in today. Okay? Questions on what we covered today? Great.
Thanks for coming.
Can you catch that? And I think we got